We are in Isaiah chapter 26. You got your Bible? Please turn with me there. If you don't have your Bible, why not? Okay, there's some Bibles on the seats, underneath the seats, but we'll also put the words up on the screen. But we just encourage you to bring your Bible so that you can read along. You can see it's also a good thing to read in advance. You want to know where we're going to be next week? I'll be in chapter 27. Okay? As we complete this section, chapters 24 through 27 are kind of one big group of apocalyptic style word from Isaiah. And in this apocalyptic message, it's talking about the last days. And when it starts out referring to the last day with the words "in that day." So this is where we're at. Again, chapter 26 of Isaiah, we'll start with verse 1. Please read along with me. It said, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. We will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When the judgments come upon the earth, the peoples of the world learn righteousness. Though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn. They do not learn righteousness, even in a land of uprightness. They go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Lord, you establish peace for us. For all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone do we honor. They are now dead. They live no more. Those departed spirits do not rise. You punished them and brought them to ruin. You wiped out all memory of them. You have enlarged the nation, O Lord. You have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself. You have extended all the borders of the land. Lord, they came to you in their distress. When you disciplined them, they could barely whisper a prayer. As a woman with a child about to give birth rises and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, O Lord. We were with child. We writhed in pain, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth. We have not given birth to the people of the world. But your dead will live. Your bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Go, my people. Enter your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his day has passed, till his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose her shed blood upon her. She will conceal her slain no longer." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, we come before you and we seek your Holy Spirit's wisdom and discernment this morning. That you, Lord, would reveal to us how we can best live out your word. Give us understanding which supersedes the natural. Lord, we don't want to understand this with the wisdom of man, but we want to understand your word with the wisdom of God. Lord, I pray for myself as I come and preach your word, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and empower me to preach your word and truth. And Lord, if anything I preach is not of you, I ask that you would wipe it from the minds of these people here as if it was never spoken. Might only your truth prevail. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In that day. That is the last day of judgment. And as we've seen in the first couple of chapters, as we're dealing with the day of this eschatological, which deals with things of the last day, that it's going to happen. In fact, we see it happening today. More and more, we see more and more things that reveal to us what's happening. One of the things that it points out that will be happening is that those who are on high will be humbled. Have we not seen that in nation after nation? We've seen it within the church. We've seen people who set themselves up as high and then abuse their authority, and God has brought them low. We've seen the heads of nations, even in this last year, removed one after another from leadership. Is this the last days? Are we in the last days right now? I don't know. I know we're a lot closer than we were when I was born. And then we look at this and we see that He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to dust. And what's His instrument of this? Is feet trample it down. The feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. It's the people who are oppressed and the ones who don't have any power or wealth. These are the ones that God uses as an instrument of judgment upon those who have power. Now that doesn't make any sense. How can those who don't have power take down those who have power? Yet we've seen it in the news. And this is what Isaiah the prophet spoke of. That those who have power, those who have lifted themselves up, will be taken down. And the instrument that God will use to show that He is the one who has the power is those who have no power. Those who are lowly and poor. Now we're told that in that day we need to learn a song. That's the way it starts out in verse 20, in verse 1 of chapter 26. It says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Okay, I say, if this is the song that's going to be sung in the land of Judah, maybe we should learn it. Okay? God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. It starts out, we have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. So we're not talking about walls and ramparts of stone, but the salvation of Jesus Christ, the cross. These are the walls and ramparts of God's city for His people. This is what we need to be trusting in. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. They will keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. We need to make Christ that thing that we look at. Last week, talking about where we lift our eyes up. Even in our evening service, we're looking at the different names of those who came out of exiles and went back to Jerusalem. And one of the names was literally, I lift up my eyes to God. Now here we are. Where do we keep our? Where's our mind at? Where is your mind right now? It's on wherever you're looking, whether you're looking with your eyes or you're looking with in your interior mind. Some of you might be daydreaming and off in a really nice place right now. But some of you are actually here listening to the message and looking at this guy up here. And the closer you look at me, the better you can hear That's actually true, that if we look at something, we can hear better. Why is that? Because we're focused. That's what our mind is on. We're giving it the attention of more than one sense. As we do this, it becomes our focus. Now, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. How do we stay steadfast? How do you keep from getting swayed? Is you keep focused. You're committed to it. You won't let anything deter you. Won't let anything turn you from the left or the right. And you're going to follow that path. Well, that's the way we need to be, as we're following Jesus. We're going to be steadfast with him. Now, the passage goes on, and it does speak of those who will be trampled down, the high taken low. But it also speaks of us walking in the ways of your laws. We wait for you, your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. Is that really desire of our hearts? So, when your judgments come upon the earth, people of the world learn righteousness. Tell you what, when judgment came upon my various body parts as a child, I learned righteousness. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. When discipline comes, we learn. It points out something here. It says, though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. If we just let somebody get by, sometimes they just won't learn. Now, who is it that doesn't learn? The wicked. Now, does that means that those who are not wicked can learn through grace that it is what it is to be gracious. That it's okay for me as a parent to sometimes be gracious to my son. I didn't always spank them for everything that they did. I didn't always get spanked as a child for everything I did. Sometimes I was gracious. I'm gracious right now. My mother allowed me to live as a child, where there are many instances where that was in question. But the wicked, she wasn't sure, but she deemed me not to be wicked. So she allowed me to live, and I did learn some righteousness. But what we see here is the wicked. Who are the wicked? Those who, they regard not the majesty of the Lord. That's who wicked are. You can give them God's grace. That's God's riches at Christ's expense. And somebody who's wicked will just say, eh, I don't care. They're not thankful for it. They just take it, or maybe even spurn it. Just, eh, whatever, I don't need it. Or say, oh, this is great. But they're really not thankful. That's the wicked. See, they don't regard the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Why don't they see it? Because they're not looking at him. How does that relate to you and me? People, it's our job, as we saw last week, to tell others. To live it out ourselves. To be thankful for what we've received, the blessings, the grace that we've received. It is our job to give praise to God, to sing the song of God's glory, to sing the song of thanking God for His blessings. This is our job. Because we know that the Lord is going to be bringing judgment. It is going to happen. It's not an if. It's just a matter of when. as we see, it talks about the things that are going to be happening. It looks closer and closer all the time. None of us know when we're going to go to be with the Lord. I received 2 phone calls in the last 24 hours. In the last 12 hours. From the police department. Where I had to go deal with somebody's death. One was cancer. And the person had gone into hospice, but you know, instead of calling hospice, they called the police when their loved one passed. Because they weren't expecting it so soon. They weren't ready. Even though they knew he was dying, they weren't ready. All the signs were there, but they weren't ready. Sometimes it comes from us from out of nowhere. The second call was a suicide. A couple that has lived together for 11 years. They went to dinner. They had a disagreement. She went home, went to bed. He stayed at Applebee's a little bit longer. He came home, called a couple friends, complained some. And then that was it. This morning she found him having hung himself in the basement. A year ago, not even, I had to do the funeral for UT Poor. A 17-year-old young man who was the captain of the Champlin High School football team. He died through drowning at a family get-together. The first police call I ever went to, again, unexpected death. So we go, we always think that we're going to know that's going to be time. But we don't know. So the thing is, we need to be ready. We need to have learned the song. If I was going to call you up here to sing a song, wouldn't you want to know it first? I've actually done that to Butch a couple of times where I've called him up and had told him to lead a song that he didn't know. He didn't like it. He let me know. He didn't like it. I don't blame him. If I didn't know it, I wouldn't want to get up to sing it either. That's why I called him up to sing it. Actually, I did know the song, but I'm just—you've all heard me sing, so that's why I called him up to sing. So, but sometimes, even though you think everybody around you knows it, they don't. I assumed he knew it. Why? Because I knew it. I see Butch all the time. I assumed he knew what I knew. Guess what? He didn't. Maybe you see somebody all the time and they don't know what you know. That the end is coming. The day will be here. One day. When is that day? Don't know. Our job is to be ready for it. Our job is to tell others so that they can be ready for it. So they're not asked to sing the song and go, I don't know that song. We need to learn the song. See, on the last day, on that day of judgment, God says, Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. His people are the one who know his song. Who sing that song. Those are the people of his nation. What is the song? The song of his glory. The song of his love. The song of his salvation. The song of his righteousness. The song of his mercy and grace. The song that he will hold the world accountable, yes, but that he will put his hand over those who put their trust in him and don't trust in their own strength. Seriously, the illustration that Isaiah gives here, showing us what we're at, what our actions are like compared to God's, the birth of a baby, a woman in labor, is no easy thing. It's a long-term commitment. It takes you a while to do it. How many women here have had a baby? Did it take you more than a week? Just a little bit more. Somewhere around 40 weeks, I believe, is what's supposed to be. And then there's the whole raise the thing afterwards, which is kind of still an ongoing process. I still call my mommy. Okay, guess what? My kids call me their daddy. They call their mother, too. And our baby's 26. I'm older than that. Yet, all the work and the effort, it produces something beautiful and precious. But what we produce in our 10 months of labor to give birth is gas compared to a child. That's the illustration here. I'm not the one that wrote it. This is Isaiah through the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God in this. This is the illustration that they have. We are with child, we ride with pain, but we gave birth to wind. Could you imagine having gone through 40 weeks, morning sickness, labor pains, to give birth to gas? A severe disappointment, to say the least. And what kind of a blessing is it? It isn't. That's what we are. Our work is compared to God. What we try to do. So what we need to be doing is trusting in God and His work and His strength. We need to trust in the cross and what Jesus did there. We can't do it ourselves. We're not the one who builds the wall of salvation that surrounds the city. It is Christ. But your dead will live and their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. This is a land where water is precious. And the earth will give birth to her dead. That day of judgment, the judgments will sound and the dead will rise up. Those who are in Christ will meet Him first in the air. So when the day of judgment comes, said, go, my people, enter your rooms. This is what we're supposed to do. Go into our... When judgment comes, we're not supposed to be running out in the middle of it. We're supposed to be going into the prayer closet and saying, Lord, save your people. And to do this, we need to learn this song, that God is our Lord and Savior, that He is the one who gives us all good things. We must surrender all we are, and God will cover us with His hand of mercy and bless us with His grace. So let us close right now by singing the song we really do need to learn, I Surrender All.